Before we start this episode, I thought I'd tell you that I've got a new book out. Yes, another one. This one is to help coaches supercharge their coaching capability through reflective journaling. Coaching Journal, a guide and journal, walks you through the process by, well, providing you with a guide and some structured reflective models. So pop over to Amazon and get this quick, practical and insightful book today to start your journey towards a more successful professional practice. What would you put in your backpack if you had a new coaching engagement but could only take a limited number of items? Each week, the Coach's Backpack looks at the multifaceted world of coaching and asks a new guest to tell us what they would take with them and why. Hi, I'm David Lowe, and this week we're taking a peek inside the backpack of Matt Hayes. Welcome, Matt.
Hello, David. Thank you for having me. What an honour. Much looking forward to this conversation.
I am very much too. So, let's go straight into it. The first thing I'd like you to do is to describe what you do in under 20 words, please.
Okay. If I don't include the words, it's from now.
That was 10 people, words already. Now you've already had 10 words.
I help people grow awareness and then enable them to turn negative situations into opportunities quicker.
I never really count the words. I've got no idea. But this is good. This is a good description. And we can dig into this as we go through your choices for your backpack. So for anyone who's not been here before, this is a challenge that I have set. You've been asked to coach a new client, but are limited to what you can take with you. So you have your essentials. You've got your clothes, your toothbrush, your beard trimmer, all of those things. But you can also take, in addition to those, one book, one tool, technique, concept, method, or approach, one other item of your choice, plus a person from the past or the present to accompany you. So, Matt Hayes, what are you going to take and why?
All right. Well, thanks for the beard trimmer, because it's getting a bit unkempt at the moment. Okay, the book. I would choose Positive Intelligence by Shezad Charmaine. And this is where the mental fitness comes about, you see. So he's done a lot of research with positive psychology, neuroscience, cognitive psychology, performance science. And he sort of put it all together into this wonderful framework to help, basically, you see the positives a bit quicker. So what he does is he draws your attention to what he calls the judge. So, you know, that voice in your head that says, it says things about yourself, I'm not good enough or whatever, about others, why do they do that, or how dare they, or situations, you know, like, oh, COVID, this is awful, and then I wish I was back traveling again, or I hate my commute, or whatever else this crazy voice tells you. And of course, these things have impact on your relationships. And so what he does is he helps you draw attention to when this judge is talking and how. And then also he's got some sneaky little fellows called the saboteurs, which accomplice your judge. Okay. And we all have them. Okay. So for example, there's like the avoider. So your judge might say, this person's a bit aggressive and I don't like confrontation, so I'll just put that off. Or this work is too hard. I don't want to be doing that, or this is awful, or whatever else. And so you can start avoiding things. So on the plus side, you know, if it's avoiding this difficult person, you are good at keeping the peace. But on the downside, you may not be facing into things that perhaps need addressing. Another one's like the stickler. So it has to be perfect, which is good if you want to produce really high quality work. Not so good for just good enough. Or maybe when you're working with others, they perhaps never feel like they've done well enough for you, and they perhaps stop trying because you're going to correct it anyway or whatever.
So two out of two so far.
Yeah,
yeah. Got the stickler, got the avoider. Yeah, I'm worried. How many did you say there are?
There's nine. My favourite, one of my ones. It's not my favourite at all, but there you go. Always looking for the positive. Hypervigilant. So this is like looking for things that can go wrong, the dangers. So that's good when there's actual danger, but not so good if it's all the time, because it means you can seem a little bit negative. So the idea is your judge would pop up and judge something. The saboteurs would go, yeah, get in there, come on, beef up your judge. And so they might protect you to get through, but often you're coming from a place of like worry, fear, negativity, anger, that sort of thing. So the idea is you have sage powers, that's what they call it. So you get familiar with your judge, you start spotting when it happens, and you have some tools to turn them into positives like empathy, curiosity, exploring alternatives. And so you gradually grow up your mental fitness to turn things around quicker so that you don't feel like, oh, all the time. Well, you do, but then you can quickly move on. So, for example, if you're stuck in traffic, instead of going, oh, no, I'm not moving, you go, oh, I've got time to listen to today's podcast. Or with COVID, you know, I've had so many amazing things going on, like my kids. Like, I just get to see them all the time. I just would never have saw my son grow up over the last couple of years. And loads of virtual cuppers, like chatting to you, Dave. So even though COVID's been terrible at times, like, you're looking for the opportunities to turn them into good. So yeah, the book has really helped me with that.
Did you say we've got all of these nine saboteurs? They're all part of us.
Yeah, so the judge is the main one, and the nine, we have, yeah, at different times. So it's hyper-rational, or the pleaser, that's another one. So commonly we sort of would say, oh, I'll, you know, someone's coming towards you in the car and you flash them, say, off you go through. And they don't say thanks. I've seen people go, oh, you didn't say thanks, right? So that the pleasers are the nice part, and then but it's also not been recognized, and you can judge the person, whereas they might not even have noticed or something else, right? So yeah, there's quite a few of those.
Here's a classic feeling. I'm about to start a three-day workshop and I feel tired. My mind says, hey, you're tired. And then you start to panic about it because, oh no, what if I don't know, what unrealistic thing is going to happen? What if I fall asleep halfway through, right? It's never going to happen, but your mind starts playing games.
There's your hypervigilant kicking in, right? You're just looking for the things that could go wrong. You know, like the boy who cried wolf, you know, he's like, oh, you know, like by the time something actually happens, no one comes anymore. And that's, so when you're looking for danger in everything and you're spotting this, and maybe this is coming out with you with other people, oh, we can't do this because of that. Like, they just start thinking, oh, come on, man, you know, just stop overreacting. Yeah, it's about looking at, like, out of all the things that you really worry about, how many of them actually happen. And if, you know, sometimes it's just exploring that, just thinking the enormity of things and realizing that they're not. But again, like, when something new's coming out and you're not sure about it, if people start, if you're, your first reaction is, well, that might not work and this might not work. Again, for me, that's me just processing what's happening. It doesn't mean I actually think it. I just want to know. That's because my brain's inquisitive, but it can come across as me being a bit negative, you see.
What you were just saying earlier reminds me of a previous guest who recommended The Alchemist as the book. I don't know if you've come across this, but it's a strange read. I'm going to say that, but I'm going to edit that out. And it made me approach some new ideas. You were talking about curiosity. It made me also think about it being an adventure. So yeah, yes. I don't know the answer. I don't know what's going to happen. But rather than worrying about it, actually think of it as kind of Indiana Jones for those of us who are our age. You know, I'm this adventurer. You know, get the hat on and see what's going to happen. Right, we'll find out.
No, that's it, and that's where the sage powers come in. Right, you're innovating around the problem. You're actually going into it, going, well, this is. So imagine you've got a difficult conversation coming up, and you'd say, well, what saboteurs might come out when I'm talking to this person, right? So I might avoid them, for example. So what could I do? Or I might sort of be, my hypervigilant might already be kicking in now, going, well, they might say this and they might say that. And actually, when I speak to them, they're like, oh, hi, Matt, you know. So it's like you preempt what's going to happen, and you think about, like, well, okay, so what if that happens? Or how could I be curious? Or how could I be empathetic to this person and see what happens? So yeah, exploring the alternatives and working out in advance, you can really help yourself around the problems.
Cool, right. Well, that is book placed in the backpack. We've got one item. So where are you going next?
I'll go with the item. So for those of you watching in a black and white telly, the red is next to the brown. I know we're on radio right now, but I'm holding a picture of my younger self, which I keep often with me. And I'm probably about 6 or 7, need a bit of a haircut, even though my dad cuts hair, I just probably didn't let him. But this picture just reminds me of my essence, of what I was as a child, the playfulness, the kindness, conscientiousness. And it's like what I use to bring mental fitness to myself, but to others. It's a real metaphor here, but it's a real one. I can look at this picture and say, would I talk to a young child like that, how I'm talking to myself? And when I see it and I think, my young son is three, some of the things I'm saying, and I've spoke to so many people I've worked with, and they sort of say, I would not speak to other people the way I speak to myself. And so this picture and just saying, you know what, when you're being kind, have a little look. Or when you're worried about something, have a little look. What does the young child need? Maybe it's a cuddle. Maybe it's just some kind words. And it really grounds you, really reminds you that, why would you talk to yourself like that? Yeah, so that's my ultimate choice.
Oh, that's lovely. And scarily, it reminds me of a picture I have of when I was about that age as well. So I'm going to try and persuade you to let me have a copy of that picture, and I'll send out a picture. I'll agree to send out a picture of me at that age as well, if you'll agree for me to send that out.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, so if you've not subscribed to the Coach's Backpack newsletter yet, go to thecoachesbackpack.com and sign up. Otherwise, you're going to miss out on two gorgeous pictures of us. I mean, I think we can say that when it was like over 30 years ago. I'm not going to describe us as gorgeous now, but let's move on. We've got the item, and you've got your book. So what else are you putting in the backpack?
Yes. Okay. My tool. Okay. It's the simple effect of rubbing your fingertips together. I sort of use this with my clients to basically help ground them at any time. You can use it any time, really. And it basically, if when you learn about it, it brings you back a sense of calm and it activates your creativity quicker. Again, you know, when I was working with some NHS doctors and when the pandemic was at its peak, they found this extremely helpful, because you can't always go and sit in a corner and meditate or something. But this is something very practical that's just there at your fingertips. Boom, boom. So let me, if you wouldn't mind, I'll quickly take you through it. Just close your eyes for a moment and just take a deep breath in. Now put your thumb and first finger together and just rub the tips and just feel the sensation. Feel the grooves. Notice which finger or which hand. Maybe it's one or both. And really notice what you can feel, the temperature, the sounds around you. And then just take your hands together and rub all of your fingertips on each other, on each fingers. And just notice what you can feel, the heat, the movement. And take another deep breath in. And one out again. And open your eyes.
It is amazing how much you can feel on your fingertips. Like, yeah, you don't think that you ever feel, you know, you don't think you can feel the grooves on your fingertips. No. And yet you can.
And you just pay attention to that. And okay, it really helps balance. I mean, well, I find it does anyway. But of course, you don't have to close your eyes. You can take a breath, you know, if there's other people around. But like I did it before I started recording the podcast with you, just to make sure I showed up well. And sometimes when I think I'm waffling a bit, I think, oh, okay, let's just do that for a minute. So yeah, it's very versatile. So I love that tool, and it's been really important for me.
Annoyingly, I can also feel the big slit in my index finger on my left hand where I shoved a global knife through it when I was cooking last week, and it still hasn't quite healed. Which reminds me not to be so careless with my knives as well.
Well, there's the gift, David. You have to be careful. Be more careful with your knives. Who knew?
Yeah. Don't do it with your eyes closed. That was my problem. There you go. Brilliant. No, I love that. I love that technique. Well, the backpack is packed. So the last question of what you're taking with you is whom you're taking with you.
Ah, well, that's easy. Steve Chapman is his name. His website's called Can Scorpion Smoke? And he's just a wonderful man. He's done some outrageously creative work. He's got a TED Talk on the inner critic, and he's embodied his inner critic as a mask. He made it himself. And he just does this wonderful talk about kind of some of the things I was talking there about how you speak to yourself. He's got a podcast called The Sound of Silence, which is the world's first silent podcast featuring special guests. He's got this amazing mask workshop where he's made all his masks. It's really funny putting this mask on with no expression on and somebody telling the audience what was going on for me, and they were saying, oh, I can see that, and yet there's nothing there. It's really quite clever. So yeah, I just love like the way he comes up with these things. He used to have this thing called the lab, and you could just turn up and bring an experiment with you. And the rules are you've never tried it before and you don't know if it's going to work, and everyone who comes just goes along with it. I brought this thing because I was asked to do this large scale day thing with like 200 people. So I tried this little thing out. You know, like when you play that game where you draw the head and then you fold it over and someone draws the body and you pass it around and you
love that
open
game.
It up and you have this like mishmash of body parts. And so I created this, like these factories of heads makers and body makers, and they all passed it down. They weren't allowed to talk. And it was all about demonstrating silos and how HR can block people off from working together. But I guess if Steve hadn't been running the lab, I probably never would have thought of or come up with that sort of thing. So yeah, having him around, I think it would just be next level.
I love the sound of the Sound of Silence podcast. Once people have finished listening to all of our episodes, they should go and listen to that. And I mean, you said you had Vic Reeves.
Yeah,
Vic Reeves. I like the sound of Eddie Izzard.
Eddie Izzard, Terry Waite. Yeah, all sorts of people on there. I think he's turned it into a piece of artwork now. It is there, the 100 episodes.
300 minutes of silence, basically.
Yeah.
If you combine it all. I presume there is some discussion as well as the Sound of Silence. But hey, we'll have to find out. Who knows?
Exactly. Yep.
I'm not going to get you to answer that. It's going to be, people are going to have to go and look it up. Right, well, look, that is your backpack packed and your person accompanying you has been decided. Now, sometimes we have help packing our stuff and something might have crept into your backpack that you don't want. So what is the one thing that you would not want in your backpack?
Yes, I know what it is. It is the fear of not being good enough. I think my judge can chatter away in my head. So I say, oh, you're not good enough, Matt. This isn't going to be good enough, or you won't be able to do this or that. And it's not true. You don't need to listen to that. So I absolutely don't unzip and drop that out. There's no place in my backpack. It's one of the things that has really stifled me over the years at different points. I think someone once asked me what, I didn't know what good or enough was. So it's a really strange question to feel not good enough. But really, it's just about knowing that whatever you do will work out and just having a bit of faith in yourself.
Yeah, not being good enough. I think a lot of people have that feeling, right? I'm not good enough. And then I know I personally don't celebrate the stuff when it does go well, right? And when I've achieved something, it's like, right, on to the next thing. Definitely.
That's it. You're right. I mean, I think I'm sometimes embarrassed when I've done something well. So I don't spend very long celebrating my victories. And of course, you don't really sort of really appreciate what you've done sometimes because you're too busy going, oh, you know, that probably would have happened anyway. But now, I've taught this to my daughter actually, really. And if someone says something nice, you say thank you straight away, accept the gift. Oh, you look nice. Thank you. No, I don't. My hair is or whatever that is. Like, just thank you. I think it goes a long way to helping that voice in your head.
I can hear the voices in your head in the background. I've got one final question for you, which is, where do you hope you are or are not going on this fictional gig?
Good question. I think it has to be some sort of snowboarding destination. And Austria is one of my favourite places. And Oberton, I probably said that wrong, but it sounds a bit like that or spelt a bit like that. Because it just flows and it's wonderful. But the reason I'm picking snowboarding is because you're always in the moment when you're piling down a hill. You're really just taking it all in, feeling the feelings, the air, and the vastness. Sometimes it just takes your breath away what you're taking in. And being really appreciative of that. Appreciation's like the key, I think. One of the things about mental fitness is like rather than thinking about fear, you think about appreciation. You can't think of both at once. So the act of appreciating really helps you stay in the right place. And even just talking about snowboarding now, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I'm not even thinking of what's going on around me, my kids in the bath or whatever. So yeah, after that, Austria, Obertown, or however you say it, and the vastness, that's why I'd pick there. So yeah, let's go. I'll fit you in the backpack as well if you want, Dave. Come
Nice,
along.
thanks. I mean, now if you're going to take me along, I regret that you didn't want to take a snowboard as an item because we're going to have to find a tray or something to go down the slope on. But there we go.
Even
You made your
better.
choices. You've got to live with it now, Matt. That's it. It will be good enough.
Correct. Yes, it will. Thank you, David.
Right. Well, if people would like to know more about Matt Hayes, where do they go?
Okay, yeah, so my own website with my own bits and bobs on is matt-hayes.co.uk, and I also work with the Humble Associates, a group of coaches. We do some cool stuff. So humble.associates is the other website you can find me on. Happy to chat to people about anything we've talked about today.
Well, thank you very much, Matt Hayes, for coming on the Coach's Backpack.
Thank you very much for having me, Dave. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And thank you for joining us on this episode of the Coach's Backpack. If you would like extra goodies, such as free tools, offers, further info about our guests, and maybe even an odd peek inside their actual backpack, sign up to our mailing list at thecoachesbackpack.com. And don't forget to follow the podcast too. See you next time.